think more and more to me about it. And you know, it all started with the whole thing about we are all known as sons of God or children of God, not slaves, not servants. Though as children of God, or children of God, we will have the servanthood. We will want to serve our God. We are slaves of righteousness, where we say we can't do anything except what God tells us. But we don't want this to be stuck in that, because we are more than that. Amen. Because we are, God has called us sons, so that it means that we are really, really precious to Him. It's a very, very important title. Amen. So it starts with the whole ownership thing where I share about, you know, if this is your house and you're a son of the house, when you do things, you know, just imagine your own house. Like for me, now, like, you know, when I was first married and all with Amy, or in the beginning, right? You know, when I opened the door for her and all that, obviously she says thank you all the time, right? But then as it goes on, I still do that, right? But less, okay? But do I keep expecting every time I open the door for her, hey, how come you never say thank you to me? Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, things begin to, when we wash dishes, I don't expect a thank you just because I wash it. It's nice to hear, right? When you encourage people, you thank them. But because it's your house and you see dirty dishes and you do it, you don't need to go, oh, I clean the dishes. Anyone around to be recognized? No, right? That's the whole concept of being sons of the house. But then, as I walk this journey, it starts. God starts showing me more and more what is it being sons of the house, right? Amen. Okay. And also, but then, how do we live? How do we become that sons of God? So we have one example, or the best example is Jesus, right? So Jesus shows us how to live. To be like Jesus means doing what He does. Walk as He did, because He walked with the Father. In fact, He was such a perfect Son. He is the perfect Son, that when He said that, when you see Me, you see the Father. And that's what all of us want to strive to be that true sons of God, meaning that when people look at us, they can see the Father. Amen? And Jesus also depended on the Father. Where is our source? Is it from above? Is it from our peers? Is it from, where is it coming from? Is it from ourselves? Let it be from above. Amen?
Amen?
Amen? Alright, let's move on. To just recap, and about how God has created us with so much potential, right? We are all created in the image and likeness of God, which means we have the substance of God in us. We are created as spirit being, you know, with soul and body. And we know that in Romans chapter 8, verse 15, right, where it says that, for you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption, by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. So we have, when we are born again, when we are truly born again, we have been adopted into this family. We are adopted into sonship. Right from Genesis, this is the great plan for us. Amen. Alright, God has a great plan for us, and He created us with the same substance. My spirit, everyone say, my spirit,
my spirit.
Is the real me.
My spirit
is the real me.
Alright,
so God is spirit, we are spirit, and so we can communicate with Him in spirit. So God is looking for those who worship Him in spirit and in truth as well. And I like that, I will just view this from what Uncle Donald shared a few weeks ago about DNA. Alright, and I won't repeat what all he said, but I can confirm that a lot of those that he said are all true, right? So I'll qualify him, okay? All right, as a scientist, so I'm wearing two hats today, okay? All right, so let's go into what is our body made of, right? So this is what I was teaching the Malaysian children when they were here. That if we, let's look from the right, okay? So we have the organism or the human body. It's made up of different systems. So what we call system is like circulatory system, which involves a variety of organs. So if you take circulatory system, for example, it's made up of the heart and the blood vessels and all the other parts. Or if you take respiratory system, then it starts off from the nose or mouth to your trachea and all this to the lungs. Okay, so that's what makes system, right? A group of organs. Then organs are made of a group of tissue, which is made up of a group of cells that perform the same function. Okay? So here, you have one muscle cell. One muscle cell, their job is basically is to contract. Okay? The muscle cell's job is to contract, but alone, it can't do it by itself, right? So like, when you're doing this, right? Imagine a group of cells called tissue, muscle, contracting, but also it's working with all your tendons and your bone to do this action, right? Okay? So, have you all got it so far? So, cells are considered as the fundamental units of life, okay? And as Uncle Doro wonderfully put it about how each cell has DNA in it, right? And how our cells have a region called... next picture. Right? So, the human body, the basic unit is called cell, and in each cell there's a nucleus in there where there is your chromosomes or your DNA or your genes, right? They are all in there. Okay? And it has the blueprints and codes all the necessary information or what we say proteins or molecules to make the cell function. Okay? But did you know? So this is where I'll bring in the whole the concept of the body, of how you make cells, how do we apply that spiritually, right? Now, did you know that every cell of the body has exactly the same identical DNA? Which means the cell that is here and the cell on my nose has the same DNA. It does not have finger DNA, and then this one has nose DNA. It's not like that, right? It has the full copy of the DNA. Do you understand? Right? So the ear does not have just ear DNA. It has the whole thing. That's why when we talk about forensic science, you can pick like a hair or skin from somebody, it will be able to copy the whole DNA of the person. Right? So what does that mean? Right? When Uncle Donald was sharing this, like, that's a revelation. Oh, and it's all identical except if there is a mutation. That's what we call like cancers, or if your cells been infected with a virus where it injects its own DNA in there. Alright? So principle number one is every body or every cell in the body should have the same DNA. Right? Now apply that to the body of Christ. All of us should have the same DNA of God. Right? And we know that spiritually, when we say DNA, we have the divine nature of Abba Father. Right? So we don't just have prophet DNA or teaching DNA Do you see where I'm going with this? All of us have the same, so that we have the same full picture. But however, depending on our function, then we say that the cells will express different genes that will produce different protein to make it work. For example, the muscle cell, its importance is to contract. So it needs things that will make it go to that, do that. The intestine, you have cells that their job is just to absorb nutrients. So their shape will be different, their function will be different. But again, the DNA in the intestine, the cells in the intestine, the DNA in, say, the muscle, is exactly the same. Right? Amazing, right? Amen? Alright? So, even though we differ in our function and what we express, we all have the same DNA. But secondly, did you know that the cells, all in the body, their source of life is from the same source. Which means, we know that all of us need oxygen. All cells need oxygen. Where did this oxygen come from? It came from the lung. And how does it travel? Through the heart. So all your blood that your heart is pumping is supplying oxygen to all over the body. So what it means that all of the cells are coming or having their source from the same source. Yeah, they all come from the heart, the blood from the heart, where it carries oxygen to all. Isn't that amazing? Again, right? If you think about it, your cells can be so far away, right, from the tip of your toe to your head, but yet they're receiving from the same source. They all need oxygen. Yeah, amen? Alright, so again, as the body of Christ, all of us are receiving from the same source, that same source of life, which is the Spirit of God, right, from the breath of God. So it's not that even though we differ a bit different in terms of our function, what our abilities are, we are all different, but yet we are all the same. Amen? And together, when we work together, the different cells work together, makes up tissue, and tissue, a group of tissue makes organs, and organs make system, and it makes the body work together. Amen? So, I thought I'd just share this with you a bit. I was very excited when Uncle Donald shared this. And just to apply that spiritually, all of us have that potential in us. Okay? Amen? And all of us, when we are truly born again and filled by the Spirit, we all have the divine nature of God. And all of us are being supplied from the same source. Amen? Alright. So, yeah, let's go next. Alright. So now, let's take Jesus as an example. Jesus, the perfect man that had both God the Father and the fullness of the Holy Spirit dwelling in his body. And this comes from Colossians 2, 8 to 10 and Hebrews 2 to 11. Firstly, here, what it's trying to say is that this, what Jesus experienced on earth is a foreshadowing for us as a church. Right? And at his baptism, God says what? This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. So it takes a son, right, or the son, Jesus, to manifest the balance of both all of God and also express all of humanity. Because Jesus is both all of God and all man. Right? So he shows us how do we live to have fullness of God dwelling in each one of us. Right? Because the fullness of God dwelt in Jesus in a bodily form. So now, the fullness of God is also dwelling in us in a bodily form. So how do we express Him out? How do we do this? Right? And Jesus gives us an example. And here, in Colossians 2 verse 8, it says, "Beware lest anyone cheat you through philosophy and empty deceit, according to the tradition of man, according to the basic principles of the world, and not according to Christ. For in Him, all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and you are complete in Him who is the head of all principality and power." Amen. Remember that as we were listening to the tape from Clarice Pruitt, it says that, you know, stop listening to the accuser, stop listening to his lies, his deception, because the devil is trying to cheat us. And it can come through either different teaching or philosophy or tradition. Right? And there is a difference between facts and truth. Truth is what the Word of God says. Facts is basically what the human body tries to perceive through the five senses, or what she calls the five professors. But again, when we are born again, right? Remember that our body is made of spirit, soul, and body. Which means when our spirit is born again, one third of us is holy. One third of us is perfect. One third of us is set apart for the express purposes of God, who knows everything. So God knows everything about us. And in Hebrews 2 verse 11, Jesus said that He who sanctifies, which is God, and he who are sanctified, which is us, are now one. Right? So that now we can be one with Him and be like Him. So that the work of the cross now has paved the way so that what Jesus has done on earth to become reality in our lives. So, being saved from sin is only the beginning. You know, Jesus dying on the cross to save us from sin, that's only the beginning. There is so much more to what our salvation means to us. And I put my title as serving God with His provisions. I also want to really define, what does it mean by serving God? Right? Because all of us maybe have different definitions of serving God, number one. Different definition. Number two, maybe we think that we are serving God in terms of fully what He wants us to do. Or maybe, but perhaps not. Okay, so I want to show you from the Bible, what does it mean really by serving God? What is it, the purpose of that? What does it mean when are we really serving God? Okay? Alright, so it's just a check for myself, and I think it's important for us all to know. So let's go ahead to Isaiah 61. If all of us can turn to Isaiah 61, let's read that. So this is the main passage for today. Alright, Isaiah 61. The Spirit of the Lord God, or maybe let's read responsively. I do one verse and you do one verse, okay? The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because the Lord God has anointed me to preach good tidings to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to those who are bound.
To proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn.
Verse 3, to console those who mourn in Zion, to give them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they may be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that He may be glorified.
And they shall build the old ruins, and they shall raise up the former desolations, and they shall bear the ruins of the east, the desolations of many generations.
Verse 5, strangers shall stand and feed your flocks, and the sons of the foreigners shall be your plowmen and your vine dressers.
And you shall be named the priests of the Lord. They shall call you the servants of our God. You shall be the riches of the Gentiles, and in their glory you shall boast.
Instead of your shame, you shall have double honor, and instead of confusion, they shall rejoice in their portion. Therefore, in their land, they shall possess double. Everlasting joy shall be theirs.
For I, the Lord, love justice. I hate robbery for burnt offering. I will direct their work in truth. I will make them an everlasting joy.
Verse 9, their descendants shall be known among the Gentiles, and their offspring among the people. All who see them shall acknowledge them, that they are the posterity whom the Lord has blessed.
I will greatly rejoice in the Lord, my soul shall be joyful in my God, for He has clothed me in the garments of salvation, and He has covered me in the robe of righteousness, as the bridegroom decks himself with ornaments, and as a bride adorns herself with jewels.
Verse 11, for as the earth brings forth its bud, and the garden causes the things that are sown in it to spring forth, so the Lord God will cause righteousness and praise to spring forth before all the nations. Amen. Alright, if we go back now to this verse, I'll just expound a little bit on it. Isaiah 61, where we see first, it starts with Jesus. Alright, the Spirit of the God is upon me. This is referring to Jesus, because the Lord has anointed me. Again, Jesus. Here, what we see is that God has called, approved, and anointed the Lord Jesus, right? At His baptism, He poured His Spirit on Him, and Jesus allowed the Spirit, or Spirit of God, to come out to the fullness. So what we see here happening to Jesus, it's also what we should be carrying out as His body. Amen? So, just building on what Pastor Ludwig shared with us last week about presenting our bodies, right? And daily, and that's what, when we do that daily, that's what we are allowing God to do. Because all of us, that God wants His Spirit to come in us firstly, okay, and that comes through relationship with Him. But also then, as we present our bodies to Him, then His Spirit can come out of us fully as well, or fully manifested. So then we say that our body is no more our own, but it belongs to God. Amen? Can we say that today? You know, that our body does not belong to us anymore. It belongs to God fully. So that's what, the week before, about, you know, that first love, that first verse, that's the first thing we have to do first, right? Then when once we do that, then we see this effect when the good news, the gospel is preached, what happens, right? The poor refers to the afflicted, right? When we know that, you know, even in what we call, in a sociology form, or what we call like humanitarian, beggars, they don't just need more money, more change in that sense, right? That's just a temporary solution for them. What they need is a change of life, right? So when we talk about the poor, we're talking about those who are afflicted, right? Not necessarily poor as in no money, but those who are afflicted, they don't know where to get their source from, yeah? And when we proclaim the good news, we are bringing comfort, we're bringing change of life. Amen? So can you see now, it's greater when we talk about serving God. This is kind of the effects, or this is kind of the big vision we are looking at. Alright? And then, second one, to heal the brokenhearted. Right? Broken heart requires internal surgery. No human doctor can do. Amen? Right? And it's only through God and the Spirit of God can internal surgery of the heart be made. Because it says that in the Bible that He heals the brokenhearted, binding up their wounds. Amen? And then the last one, you know, to proclaim liberty and also opening the prison to those who are captives. And we are setting people free when we share the good news. Amen? So, before Jesus, we are all bound by something. We may or may not realize it, but we are all bound. But Jesus has freed us from that. Amen? And Jesus has freed us from our enemy. Amen? And from sin and bondage. So then, in verse 2, where it says to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord, so we see that the favor of God has come as well. So, and also to continue
the next slide,
you know, to comfort all who mourn, to console those who mourn in Zion. Now, this refers to the church. When we talk about Zion, it's always referring to the church. To give them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they may be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that He may be glorified. So here we see that it's changed from me to they, alright? Because when Jesus came and turned us to give us from mourning to rejoicing, we see now that those who are brokenhearted, those who are bound, they are now healed and they are free. Amen? And Jesus has already done it, and we enforce this victory that Christ has been relieved. So when we come back to what Clarence Wood is trying to say, is that, you know, we have already, through Christ, we already have all this. We already have all this. We already have been free. But the devil keeps trying to lie to us, trying to throw darts at us to let us think otherwise. Amen? So let's activate this today. Right? Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, I just speak to those who are afflicted, those who are brokenhearted, those who are bound, that they are released right now in Jesus' name. They are already healed. Their broken heart is healed right now in Jesus' name. There is healing, Lord. We activate resurrection life. And Lord, through your resurrection life, we have received all that we need to be sons of God right now. We thank you, Lord, and we praise you in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. So the favor of God is already here upon all of us. Alright, so now, what do we do with all this then? What do we do with all this, what we call favor? Alright,
next.
So this is the next part of all the verses, okay? In verse 4. Here is referring to the church being an instrument or a key people to bring change to the city. Because it says, you know, they, remember, they now refers to the church. Right? Rebuild the old ruins, raise up former desolations, repair ruined cities, and desolation of many generations. Now, I had the opportunity of about last week or 2 weeks ago to attend the Global Day of Prayer that was organized by Zion Praise Church. And these key themes that they asked us to pray for is this unity among churches first, and then second, that the churches to reach out the afflicted to be an answer to the community, because we have to be the church beyond the walls, right? Because so there's one part where when we pray, they showed some videos and they showed that, you know, in Australia, even though we call it the blessed country and all this, but we cannot hide away from those that are suffering from drug abuse, home abuse, all these different things, because they are happening. And if the church is not the answer, then who is? Yeah. So I'm not suggesting that we go start and, you know, go and start joining Salvation Army or Good Samaritan, you know, start doing humanitarian work. But what I'm trying to say is that when we talk about serving God, we can't just look inside only. We gotta start looking outside. Alright? Because the world needs answer, and we are the only one that can bring hope and answers to the world through Jesus. Amen. Alright, and then the third one in terms of the prayer points was like, you know, prayer for leaders, you know, both church leaders and government leaders. Alright, because what Australia is going into, when they were doing the census, the current census, the most popular religion in Australia is no religion. That's dangerous. That's dangerous, right? Because they were showing, like, you know, stats from 2001 to 2006 and 2011. You know, last time the majority of the major religion was like Catholic or Anglican. And then slowly, slowly, state by state, the top religion became no religion, no religion. And then now, I think the latest one was 2016, is the whole of Australia is basically the top religion by state is no religion. So it looks a bit doom and gloom, yeah. But one of the things that they said was that trend would have gone faster if not for the high rate of immigration. Which means that then they did this. They said, those who are not born in Australia, stand up, right? And then we all, obviously I also stood up, and then they're like, you all have an important function of coming into Australia. We're not just coming in just to, you know, better opportunity and all this. That may be the natural reasoning, but there is the spiritual reason why all of us are being called into this nation, right? And when we bring this in, we bring the gospel with us. And when we bring it in here, they also need the good news. Amen? Yep. Amen? And we see that nations are all here, and we are beginning to move, and we see God begin to move in the nation of Australia. Amen?
Amen.
Alright? So we come against the spirit of secularism.
Yep.
Right? That is the main thing here. And we gotta come united together to fight against this. Amen?
Yep.
Alright? So we see here that there is a conversion from me, right? God has anointed me, to they. Alright? So we are called to rebuild, repair, restore broken lives and relationship of human beings. Right? And we see here already a little bit with Evangel doing coming into community. Like, for example, don't take Hilton as a small thing, because we are touching the roots, you know, or the people there. And you know, Amy was sharing to me once a while, you know, sometimes when she drops the children home, she gets to speak to the mom, and the mom just begins to pour her heart out.
Yeah.
It's like, why? Right? You know, this thing is all coming together. We're seeing God begin to work. Or maybe individually, in our domain, there are many people that are either broken, needs restoration.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And we have to see that when we serve God, it's not just inside here. Yes, we need some order in terms of hospitality, ushering, all this, serve the house. But then, when we talk about serving God, we have to broaden our vision a bit to see outside. Amen? Alright. But the first thing is to present our bodies first. Alright. Next one. Alright. So, God also, not only will He move with us, but He will also favor or bring us resources, and then the church will also be honored. Where it says here, you know, the purpose of God, or purposes of God, will bring everyone together. Because there will be networks, there will be connections for a common cause and team. Here, the word strangers are used, but what it means is that strange people you do not know will begin to come and connect with you, and they will become strangers no longer because of that common theme. Right? Strangers become friends. So then, we are no strangers with each other, we are one. And we begin to see this with Easter Parade, where, you know, yes, Adrian or representing Evangel, we are the one that's heading it. But we begin to see other churches just coming and say, let's help here, let's help there. Right? We see SJ Shire Fair as well. Right? And when we move and we give all that we have, so our part is we all give all that we have, then we begin to see God providing the way, we see God providing different people, connecting us with different people to get the job done. Amen? So this is what here, that God will not just say, okay, you do, and then that's it, but God will actually put favor upon us, resource us, alright, and also honor us. Amen? Alright? And not only that, when it says, you know, you shall eat the riches of the Gentiles, what it means is that the wealth of the nations are all prepared and made available to us. Amen? Can you say amen to that?
Yeah.
Isn't that great? So let's declare now that, Lord, in the name of Jesus, Lord, through this verse, we just declare that blessing,
yeah,
resources, yeah, people, the right people that you have prepared for us to come right now in Jesus' name.
Yeah.
We declare this over for the work here in Evangel in Murdoch, for the work of Evangel in Byford right now, in Jesus' name, Lord, God, and also for Malaysia right now, Lord, in Evangel Malaysia, in Ipoh and Kepong, Lord, we declare, Lord, that you have favored us, you have resources, and you will honor us, and you will bring all the necessary resources, which is activated right now for Evangel in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Alright, let's keep going. Number 3. Now here, it's talking about having double honor and double portion, or possess double. So I just give you a very brief, where, you know, in the Jewish or the Hebrew culture, is that firstborns get double inheritance. Okay? I won't go too much about it, alright? So the church is called the church of the firstborn, and we can read about it in Hebrews, right? And also that, what this means, right? So this is coming from what Dr. Jonathan shared to us, is that what it means by having double portion is this. When we honor fivefold ministry, so he's talking about himself, when people receive from him as an apostle, or we can also take it, when we receive from pastors, we receive from what Pastor showed last week, you know, John Eckhart and all this, we receive a portion from them, and God gives us a portion as well directly. So then that becomes our double portion. Amen. So then when we honor those who minister to us, we receive a part of their portion, and God Himself, through our faithfulness from that, gives us our portion. And that's why it's called double portion. So for Dr. Jonathan, because he's talking about people coming to Moa and then going back to their country. So what happens is that when we receive from the key or the set anointed minister or fivefold minister, we take it from there, and when we go back to where our domain is, or you know, like from Moa coming back here, we become that firstborn to express this gift that God has given us. Right? So the firstborn does not refer to as being like the first one to be born. Right? What it means is the preeminence here, or the very importance that God sees each and every one of us, that we are called Church of Firstborns. Right? And because of the Hebrew culture that God revealed, is that why is it so important, this title, Church of Firstborn, is the double portion part. Right? Where we are not only just listening to teachings, but we are receiving something, a spiritual impartation. And then as we go out and faithfully doing it, God gives us another portion. So that's that double portion. And because we are the only one that it can be in that domain, right? So we are the firstborn in that. Do you understand? Right? I hope I can translate you, all right, to you all, okay? And that's why we are known as Church of Firstborns. Amen? All right, so let's go on. The next one. And God has made the church in such a way that the church will reproduce and multiply. So here we see that towards the end, where we see the descendants shall be known among the Gentiles and their offsprings among the people, and we shall see them, acknowledge them, and that they are the posterity whom the Lord has blessed. So we see here, just as in Genesis, where Pastor Joseph also just talked about that today, when we all are born again, some of the things that are being restored, that we can multiply. Right? There is this grace to multiply and reproduce. And one more thing about the DNA, right? Coming back to the DNA, I think some of us may know this, but all of us started from one cell. Right? Right? In the womb, there's one cell. So how did it become trillions and trillions of cells? This one cell has to divide. Right? One becomes two, two becomes four, four, eight, 16, 32, and so on, right? Now, with that replication, and as Uncle Donald alluded to us, can you imagine the DNA like a piece of string? Let's just say a piece of string of 1 meter, right? And each millimeter of it is one, what we call one alphabet, right? The coding. And this coding needs to be replicated accurately. Each time when your cells divide, and if you imagine your body, that's happening right now. Like your skin cells, those are the ones, or your skin, or the cells in your intestine, those are the ones multiplying the fastest, right? And they are doing that multiple times, all the time. And when they don't do it accurately, the body actually has different systems to detect that and cut it out, and then put the right thing in, right? The coding. What happens when there is a mutation? That's where we get in trouble, right? For example, if there is what we call UE race, that's one of the what we call the source, or a carcinogenic source, right? A source where it causes mutation, that the mutation is so severe, it causes the cells to be cancerous. Right? This can be food as well. You know, some people, if you see chemicals and all that, they say this is carcinogenic, which means it's highly likely when you're exposed to this, it's bad for yourself because it can cause cancer. Now, why I'm talking about this, right? It's a bit scary. Number one is, can you see the miracles that's happening every day in our body? Yeah. Right? When we multiply, it is accurate. The DNA is never different. It does not differ. So each of us, when we replicate, each time, it's always the same. But when is it not the same? When it becomes cancerous. Right? So, and the cancer cell, to put it simply, this is its job. Its job is just to multiply. Not do any function, but just to multiply. So imagine, let's take your example, skin cancer, right? Melanoma, right? That's the most common skin cancer. This is melanin. Their function is to absorb vitamin D from the sun, right? And then provide for the body. when that cell becomes cancerous, that function stops because all it wants to do is, it's like a me cell. Let me replicate as much as possible, and then you get a lung, right? That one cell that replicates really fast. Then the second thing it wants to do is it wants to spread. It wants to have influence. Alright, so coming back to the body of Christ, are we being a cancerous cell where our DNA is now no more the same? Which means what our vision is no more equal to what God actually puts it originally. Then what happens is when we become cancerous, all we want to do is me, multiply ourselves. Right? And then the second thing, affect other parts of the body, right? When we talk about cancer staging, when it spreads to the bone, that's what we call, like, that's the fourth stage, right? That's like really, really bad, that kind of thing, right? So we see now that when God tells us to reproduce and multiply, we also have this responsibility to make sure that what we are reproducing has the same accurate DNA of God. So this all comes to right doctrine, basically. And Pastor has been talking about firm foundation, right? With introducing direct prints. All these are very important. So when we want to talk about serving God, yes, all this outside, but then what is our foundation like? Because as soon as there is a carcinogenic source, are we going to mutate and start being someone else? Or someone that we God intended us to be? Amen? Alright, so don't be... Everyone say, I don't want to be a cancer cell.
To be a cancer cell.
Alright? So we want to be that functional cell that will provide for the whole body and we see the whole body benefit. Amen?
Yeah.
Alright, so next one. So don't take foundation lightly. When we're going into direct prints in the life group, don't just, I know about faith towards God, I know about repentance. Right? It's very important so that we get it right. And sometimes we can align. Just like the DNA, when there's a mistake, there is a process by which it will come in and cut off the wrong DNA and put it right. Amen? Alright. Okay, next one. So then we come to the end here, verse 10 to 11, where the church will be a glorified body. Right? We see here that once all this happens and we see towards the last days, you know, where we can rejoice in the Lord, we can be joyful in our God. But here, we see that the right at the end there, righteousness and praise. Righteousness and praise. And we see here that what we, when we talk about glorify and great, is through the righteousness of God in us. Amen? Alright, and that's what we want to be. When Christ comes back, are we prepared for His coming back? Are we putting on the robe of righteousness as what He wants us all to be? Amen? Alright. So, to conclude, alright, we see here that He started with Jesus. This is just Isaiah 61. Started with Jesus, right? The Lord has anointed me, but then it became day, which is referring to the church. Then it talked about the end with all the nations. Can you see the progression? How great that is. From one man, from Jesus, through His body, we're going to affect the whole nations. Right? And Jesus came into the world and presented His body, because it says in Hebrews 10, 5, chapter 10, verse 5 to 10, says, you know, sacrifice and offerings is not what you desire. Right? It's a body, to prepare a body for you. So that when we talk about serving God, we're talking about presenting our body first. Right, to be available to be used. But also, there is something greater God has planned for the nations or for the people around us. We have to see that. To do what He does when He was, to do what Jesus did when He was planet Earth. Right? And when we read in the Gospels what Jesus did, Jesus promised even greater things we will do. So how wonderful is that? And to serve Him to do greater things through the Holy Spirit. So then, when we talk about service, we want to build on that. After we present our body so that God can live in through us, so that we can then reveal His image, reveal His will, and reveal His nature. So why is there a focus on daily presenting our bodies? Right? So that He can demonstrate His power. If we don't do that, if we think about serving straight away, go outside and all this, without proper foundation, without proper... without self-sacrifice, then we are highly likely to be cancerous if we go up. Yeah? So, with Christ's redemptive work on the cross, He made it possible for us to be connected to Him. He made it possible for God to live inside us so that then we can represent Him outside. Amen? Right? Jesus did not come just to die for our sin, which means now we're born again, now we're no more sin, so what now? Right? There's a lot more to do while we wait for Him. Amen? So He came to show us to live. How? As sons of God. How to let God live through me. How to overcome sin. How to resist temptation. Jesus showed all this in the gospel. How do we deal with the devil and the forces of evil, forces of darkness? How do we deal with all kinds of people and all kinds of situations? Right? And when we see this, firstly, let's ask ourselves, will I give my body to God? 100%. Will I surrender it? 100%. This is something we've got to say daily. And I'm challenging myself as well because, you know, Pastor Mei Chin especially has reminded us, have you presented your body? It's good so that we begin to think, today, when I start my day, is it my day? Or is it a day for God to work through me? Yeah? So that's what God has been speaking to me every day, that is today my day? Or is today a day for me, or a chance for me to present God to whoever is I'm going to meet today? Amen? Let's pray and declare this. Thank you, Lord. Maybe let's rise to our feet and as we declare. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Father, in the name of Jesus, as we have received your truth, as we have received your word, Lord, we know that we are set free. We know that we have been changed and transformed. And Lord, we will sound it out right now that we will present our bodies to you as a living sacrifice, 100% surrendered to you, Lord, that you can live in us and you can work through us. And Lord, we want to see that we, as sons of God, has a greater vision that you have prepared for us, that from through you, Lord, we want to see all the nations to be blessed, to be transformed. And Lord, we want to prepare ourselves that we know that you are coming back again, Lord Jesus. Lord, keep us that focus on our walk, focus on our race, that we will finish well in our generation right now in Jesus' name. And Lord, we just speak to the atmosphere, to those who are broken, to those who are hurting, to those who are afflicted, to those who are bound. We declare you are free in Jesus' name. You can come into the kingdom of God. There is an answer, there is hope, and the answer is Jesus. We say that you are coming into the kingdom of light. We speak into our families right now in Jesus' name. We speak that to the people around us, to people that we meet, that they are coming into the kingdom of light. And Lord, that when we see them, Lord, you will speak through us. You will give us the right words, or you will send people to speak the right words, the words that is on fire right now. In Jesus' name, into our families, into our relatives, into our friends. We declare that in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen.